Welcome to this week's Big Z Sports Internet broadcast. This special presentation of Big Z Sports is brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Now, the Big Z Sports team of Joe Geckler and Chris Cale.
Welcome into this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast. I'm Joe Geckler. He is Chris Cale. And this podcast brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Give them a call, 330-365-9022. That's Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Chris, did we fall asleep and fall into spring? Because that's what it feels like outside. And it's like, are we in May or is it still February?
Well, I can tell you this. With the car problems that I had this morning, I am more than thankful that it was 70 degrees and not 10.
I agree. I mean, that's God watching out for you.
Yeah, the last thing I wanted to do was change a battery in a Walmart parking lot in Youngstown with it being freezing cold. It was nice to have to do it, and it's still not the issue. So, again, big thanks to my boy Josh Van Meter for hooking me up. Took car out there, and we'll see what the damages are coming down the road.
I just gave you a big old fat paycheck a minute ago.
I know. I'll tell you, it's one thing. You end up selling something and getting a little bit of money and thinking you're getting ahead, and then something else happens. But that's life. It happens, and you know, it is what it is. But I also want to send out get well wishes to Jackson and James, of course. Eric not with us today. He had to take off. Jackson and James a little under the weather.
And Becca.
Yes, and Becca also. Yeah. So get well soon to all the McElroys, and Eric, I hope that you don't get sick.
And if you do, don't bring it to us.
Amen. All right.
Yeah, but the podcast, we're going to get going now. High school action from over the weekend, a lot of good games on Friday, a nice IVC showcase on Saturday, and much, much more, Chris.
Absolutely. From boys action on Friday night, of course, our Big Z Sports player of the game last Tuesday night when we did it against Dover and Indian Valley was added again this past Friday. Cade Rusiger dropped 7 from behind the arc. He had 25 points and led Dover to a 69-38 win over Coshocton. Cade was 7-10 from three-point range. Incredible numbers. Dover 14-6, 10-4. They finish up this week against Worcester and Tuskegee Valley before heading into tournament action. Carrollton over Salem, 47-44, as Adam Chaney had 17 points to lead the Warriors to their fifth win of the season and their second in conference. Carrollton 5-15, 2-11. West Holmes snuck by Ashland 41-40 as they improved to 6-14. Bryce Myers with 11 points for the Knights. New Philadelphia, they were hot from three-point range as well. They hit 5 of them in the third quarter and were 9-14 overall in the game, as they beat Cambridge 65-41. The Quakers outscored the Bobcats 25-8 in the third quarter. The Quakers improved to 14-6 and 10-3 in the ECOL. Joe Boos led the way with 22 points. Of course, the IVC showcase on Saturday at Claymont. Joe, I know you were there. You can allude to the first three games. The first one, actually, we'll start from the bottom. Connaughton Valley hammered Newcomerstown 75-41 as Chris Hostetler had 25 points to lead the Rockets. Tuskegee Valley over Claymont 64-41 behind Jeremy Salvo's 13 points as the Trojans improved to 5-13. Claymont was led by Michael Lasecki with 12. They are 3-19. Buckeye Trail over TCC 44-38. Justin Peltz 13 points for the Saints, who are now 9-13. Malvern, they squeaked by Ridgewood in a thriller in the battle of the four seeds, 61-59, as Derek Hutchinson hit a basket with 2.5 seconds to play. Mark Maley led the Hornets with 19-16 as they improved to 13-7. Zach Wright led the Generals with 21 as they dropped to 8-14. Battle of the threes, Joe, this is where you pick up. East Canton over Garaway, 72-59. Trevor Donaldson led the Pirates with 20 points. Garaway is 15-6. The Hornets are 13-7.
You know, I think this game came down to size. East Canton had some big boys on their team, and I think the Garaway was just overmatched underneath the hoop. They couldn't get any second rebounds, even though they were battling hard underneath was Garaway. They got close. Actually, they took the lead at one point, and then East Canton just took advantage of their size and some outside shooting to kind of take over the game and pull away at the end. But Garaway fought hard. They're a fun, fast team. I mean, they get up and go. I mean, the ball goes through the hoop, and they're at half court before you realize it. So they're moving, and I think that's Coach Terry Rao's philosophy is keep them going, get kind of wear these big guys down. And it did for a while, but Like I said, East Canton just caught a second wind and used their size and their three-point shooting to their advantage, and they made some big threes down the stretch. And like I said, the rebounding, Garaway was right there battling hard for those rebounds inside. But when you're 6'2 going up against about a 6'6 guy, you're probably going to lose that battle unless you – you know, have them boxed out and have them double teamed the right way. And you know, Garaway worked hard on the boards and came up with some and got some easy putbacks and hit some big threes, but just wasn't enough in the end.
So you're saying they could have used Joel?
Oh yeah, they could have used Joel and Mark Maley and maybe
anybody
a couple.
Else
yeah, anybody else over this about 6'4", 6'5"?
Right, yeah. Gotcha. In the battle, the two seeds Highland got by Sandy Valley 58-45. Kendall Hosteller had 14 points. Andy Miller and Kobe Troyer added 13 apiece for the Hawks, who are 17-5. Dan Bartholomew led the Cards with 19 as they dropped to 16-5.
That was a fun game to watch, too. You know, Highland is really playing good basketball right now. Mark Schlabaugh has them playing their traditional Highland basketball towards the end of the season. They're ranked in the state of Ohio finally. And, you know, it's interesting to watch Highland play because every guy on that team can shoot. Everybody on that team can play defense. Everybody on that team can pass. They know their roles. There's nobody there trying to score 30 a game. Everybody's scoring 15, 16 points a game. You know, Sandy Valley, Bartholomew is an awesome, awesome player. Loved watching him play. Very just fluent with the ball. Just a great player all around. But Highland just had too many weapons. And, you know, underneath, I mean, Sandy Valley was big underneath, but Highland didn't care. They did the proper things to keep the big guys out of the lane, got some rebounds, got some big threes when they needed it. But their defensive pressure is what caused the problem for Sandy Valley. And in the end, Highland was just too much. And they're playing really good basketball right now.
And that's when they need to be playing good basketball heading into tournament action. And then the battle of the number ones, Strasburg, handed Indian Valley its third straight loss with a 57-46 win. Race King led the Tigers with 16 as they improved to 20-1 and somehow are still not ranked. Hopefully when those rankings come out this week, they will be ranked. Cade Williams led the Braves with 16 as they fall to 17-3. You know, I know you had a chance to catch up with Adam Hall. You had a chance to catch up with Race King. I know that, you know, Coach Herm wasn't much for talking, and I don't blame him. He's trying to rally these troops as they get ready to head into, you know, tournament play. And they should get by their first round game. It'll be that second round game. It's going to be a tough one for Indian Valley as they probably going to have to face New Philly.
You know, to talk about Indian Valley for just a second, we've seen them a couple times this year, of course. So I have, and we saw them last Tuesday against Dover. They're just in a little stretch right now where I think, believe it or not, I think the physicality has caught up with them a little bit. I think teams see that and they're saying, okay, well, if they're going to be physical, we're going to be physical. And I think that's what Dover did to them. I think that's what Highland did to them, you know, out at Highland on that Friday night when they lost their first game of the season. And then they turned around and played Dover on that Tuesday. We were there. We saw how physical that game was. I mean, the referees were letting everything go on both ends of the court. But there were some also fouls called in that game where, like, wow, you called that, but you didn't call the other one at the other end. So it is what it is. But in this Strasburg game, man, I think Strasburg just came out on fire. Race King, man, he was impressive. I mean, they were passing well. They were shooting well. They were playing defense. They were up in their grill. And Indian Valley, I mean, they played well, but they just didn't have an answer for their three-point shooters. You know, Cade Williams was a monster on the boards, led the team in rebounds. I think he had 14 rebounds, if I remember correctly. I think he had 16 and 14, and he was just controlling the offensive glass or controlling the glass for Indian Valley. Even though they were out, Indian Valley out-rebounded Strasburg, but the second half, the second chance points weren't falling. Some of their threes weren't falling. Connor McGuire held to one basket. I mean, you're going to beat Indian Valley when you do that nine times out of ten. And, you know, Strasburg played a heck of a game. Adam Hall had a great game plan. Jamie Herman had a great game plan as well. The shots just weren't falling for Indian Valley. Both coaches were class acts during the entire game. Adam Hall joined us, as you saw on Facebook. Race King, which I found out is my neighbor. It's kind of weird. I didn't know that. You know, he really played the Niedenthal brothers. They played very well. But
Cregan.
Cregan played well. But just watching Strasburg, they came to play. They were up for that game. And one thing that I said to Cade Williams after the game, I said, get after these guys. Go out and do what you do. They just don't look like they're having fun. You know, they it looks like to me, and this is just a personal opinion, seeing them play a couple times, the fun is gone right now. Like, they're not out there having fun. They're out there frustrated. They're out there not – it doesn't look like they're enjoying themselves. And I told that to Connor as well. I said, go out there and have fun. You know, bring the fun back to this game, and that's where you guys will get better, is you go out and have fun and it's do what you do. Go play basketball. And don't overthink it. Just go play basketball.
Strasburg, another season where they've turned out and just had another great season. I mean, one loss. I think they had one loss last year, one loss this year, heading into tournament play. And I'll say it just like I said it last year. I think Strasburg has the potential to go far into this tournament in March. And, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But, man, they're playing good basketball. And it's great to see the fans all rallying around Strasburg. I know it was probably plenty of followers down there in that game.
Oh my goodness, that gymnasium was packed. I mean, the student section came out for Strasburg. Indian Valley fans come out in full force. Strasburg side was full. I mean, it was a great event, and hats off to the IVC. Chuck Rest did a fantastic job with all of the information that was available, and just the facilities, and everything was just top notch. And big hats off to Chuck Rest and the IVC for doing that. And it's a great event. If you didn't make it out this year, make sure you get out to it, and you know, support these schools. I mean $6 gets you into it, and you could watch basketball all day long. The North kind of dominated the South in the IVC, which is kind of weird, as you know the smaller schools kind of took care of the big schools. But there was some really good basketball, and you know, looking at the teams you mentioned, Strasburg, the teams that they have beat this year are really, really good teams. Your Indian Valley, they beat Highland, they meet Malvern, they beat Garrett. I mean, they beat all these teams that they're not pushovers by any means. And I think this is really going to prepare Strasburg for this tournament, like you said, Chris. And you know, Indian Valley just needs to find out what they were doing earlier and get back to doing that. But I think bringing fun back into it and you know, have fun out there. Don't look so stressed out. Don't, you know, Just play your game.
Maybe we can go find Austin Powers and get their mojo back.
Yeah, maybe. We can do that. Since you're off today and tomorrow, I'll let you do that.
Okay, yeah. Like, I have time to do that. So, looking at the girls' action from Friday, Highland pummeled. I was going to say propelled, but they pummeled Ridgewood. You ready for this score? You probably already know it.
I do.
105-21. Morgan McMillan fired in 28. The Lady Hawks 18-4. Callie Redis led the Lady Generals with 11 as they fall to 6-16. Ouch. Are you going to go on your tirade?
No.
You're just going to let it go?
I will.
All right, moving on. Strasburg over Newcomerstown 40-35 after jumping out to a 20-6 lead. After the first quarter, they were able to hold on. Julie Schutball led the Lady Tigers with 16. Maddie Fish led the Lady Trojans with 14. Girls action on Saturday. Garaway over West Holmes 48-25 as Callie Regula had 12, Sid Mullet 11, and the Lady Pirates finish at 18-4. Of course, the tournament, they get underway on Wednesday. You and Eric will have all the breakdown of those games coming up on Friday, but I have some of the early stuff. You can hear this on the Big Z Sports Minute in a little bit. As the tournament gets underway in D2, number 18 West Holmes travels to number 3 Cambridge in the East 1 District at 7 o'clock, with the winner taking on number 14 Zanesville on Saturday.
That's an awful big district.
Yes. In the East 2 District.
West Holmes to Cambridge.
Yeah. In the East 2, the East 2 District, number 4, Carrollton hosts number 16, Meadowbrook at 7 o'clock. The winner takes on number 15, Minerva on Saturday. Division 3, East District, number 1, Highland hosts number 16, Coshocton. Number 12, Ridgewood travels to number 10, Edison, with the winners meeting from those two games on Saturday. Number 2, Garaway, they host Tusky Valley. Actually, I'm sorry, they host number 15, Newcomerstown, with the winner taking on either Morgan or West Muskingum on Saturday. Number 4, Tusky Valley plays host to number 13, Martins Ferry, with the winners facing either Bel Air or Barnesville on Saturday. And number 7, Sandy Valley hosts number 8, Union Local. Number 5, Buckeye Trail takes on number 9, Harrison Central. The winners of those games meet on Saturday. All those games start at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. So that is your girls' rundown. And should be some very good games. Should be a good tournament action already. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's here, and it feels like tournament action outside. You know, it feels like a fall football Friday night in this studio right now. It's like 80 degrees in here.
I know.
It's really hot, but it's really warm, nice weather to have. You almost kind of think, wow, they better sneak in a baseball game real quick before they don't have any weather in the spring.
Brittany texted me this morning from flooded out Marietta College and said, man, this is softball weather, and we can't even play outside because the field's underwater. Ugh. So, it's crazy. But in bowling action from this past weekend, Claymont boys, they captured the East District D2 bowling sectional title as they topped Carrollton 41-50 to 41-24 in a tight battle. Downing led the way with a 6-28 series. Indian Valley's Chris Jones qualified individually with a 6-46 series. Again, somebody asked us on our Facebook page about, you know, covering bowling and swimming and those sort of things. We do that when we get the information. And a lot of times with bowling, sometimes in wrestling and swimming, we don't always get that information. So if you're out there, you get us the information, you can email it to us, WTUZ, Big Z Sport, or actually Big Z Sports at WTUZ.com. Or you can also, you know, Facebook message us, whatever. We'll make sure we get it posted and report on it. But we have to know the information first. On the wrestling side, Claymont racked up 7 individual championships at the IVC tournament at Sandy Valley High School. Of course, they won that tournament their first year in the IVC. The Mustangs beat Indian Valley 283 to 235. Sandy Valley finished third, Newcomberstown fourth, Garaway fifth. Max Peters was named IVC Wrestler of the Year and won the title at 138. Dakota Bunning, Briar Cadle, Ashton Eiler, Noah Edwards, Cole Abiel, and Lyle Clark also claimed titles for the Mustangs. Indian Valley got individual titles from Brady O'Connor, Adam Lenhoff, Jacob Armstrong, and Brody Parsons. Seth Armstrong claimed the title at 106 for Sandy Valley, and Newcomberstown's Logan Hersey won at 126. Minerva took care of Dover in regular season action in a non-conference matchup 49-10. Dayton Robin won the 195-pound match, and Riley Warner at 220 were the winners for the Tornadoes. In our final high school segment, swimming, this weekend is the Swimming and Diving State Championships at the CT Branham Auditorium in Canton. Junior Hunter Armstrong is the number 9 seed in the 100 backstroke and the number 11 seed in the 50 free. Senior Patrick Talati is the 14 seed in the 100 breaststroke, and the 200 medley relay team is also seeded number 16 on the boys' side. On the girls' side, the 200 free relay team is seeded 10th, the 400 free relay team is seeded 16th, and the 200 medley relay is 19th. Caitlin Henning is also seeded 24th in the 500 free. The girls and boys D2 finals are Friday at 5 p.m. The D1 state titles, the finals are Saturday at 4, and that is your high school sports report for the 20th of February.
And we'll actually have more on Friday night, Chris. I know you will not be with us Friday night. You have to go play your real job on Friday, and but we'll hold down the fort. And I'm not sure what we're going to do Friday night, but we have some guests lined up. We're just trying to get some confirmations, but we'll put out the proper promotion for that when we get the final confirmation for those. But big weekend over the weekend for some college basketball and the NBA. Obviously, the NBA had their All-Star weekend. The game actually turned out to be pretty good. The dunk
really good.
The dunk contest wasn't bad. 3-point contest wasn't bad. We'll save the dunk contest and stuff for Friday, but we'll talk a little bit about the game.
Do you think Nance was robbed?
In the dunk contest?
Yes.
I don't know.
That double tap was incredible.
That was incredible. I love how he paid homage to his dad. Yeah. That was pretty cool. Yep. So I would have loved to see Nance win, but Mitchell, he did some pretty awesome
Vince
things.
Vince Carter-esque.
Yeah. So, but the game on Sunday, other than the national anthem at the beginning, was pretty good. That was awful. I don't know what Fergie was trying to do, but that was awful.
She said that she as an artist, she was trying to do something different.
Awful.
And it obviously didn't work
out.
Don't
ever do it again.
No, it didn't work out.
Unfortunately, she'll probably never be asked to do it again, because
that
was awful.
That ranks up there with Macy Gray and Roseanne.
Not Roseanne. Roseanne is the worst ever. But anyway,
Macy Gray maybe then.
Okay.
It was bad.
But the All-Star game turned out to be a good game, an exciting game to watch. I didn't watch all of it. I caught the last probably, I know I caught the first few minutes of it, then I caught the last, I don't know, 8 minutes of the fourth quarter, which turned out to be a really good fourth quarter. And there were some cool plays in it, the bounce alley-oop from LeBron and you know, some
– yeah.
But Team LeBron won 148 to 145 over Team Steph, and, you know, LeBron named MVP his third in his career of the All-Star games. But almost a triple-double in the All-Star real game close. For LeBron.
Real close, 29 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists for the King. And like you said, if I would have told you a defensive stop was going to win that game, what would you have told me?
You're out of your mind.
Exactly. And the score shows, you know, 149, yes, there was a lot of up and down, but the bottom line is that it was good, because that score wasn't up around the 200 range that we've seen in the past.
Where it could have been.
Right, exactly.
But
it was,
know,
a good game.
It was.
Good
it
game.
Was fun to watch Durant and LeBron shut down Steph at the end of the game. That was pretty cool. Yeah. Steph looked up. He's like 6 foot three, and he looked up. He had a 6 foot 10 guy and a 6 foot nine guy in his face. He's like, yeah, I'm probably not going to get this shot off. And,
right.
You know, it was, but the shot that was taken by, was it DeRozan at the end? He passed it off. That was a decent shot for what he had around him.
I was like, what are you doing? You're going to go baseline? Oh, he stepped back and hit three. And, I'm like, wow.
It was a fun game to watch, and you know, it's, I think the NBA needs to do more of this, and I think other professional organizations need to look at this. The NFL has kind of went this direction as well. Major League Baseball, how fun would that be to pick two captains and, hey, pick your teams? You know, that would be really cool.
Well,
but the drafts need to be on TV. And something they mentioned on the TV broadcast of the All-Star game is, why don't they just say, all right, here's your players. We'll come out half hour before the game. Center court. You televise it. All right, LeBron, who you want? Steph, who you want? And just do it.
Backyard pick.
Absolutely.
And let's go play ball.
And go.
I
go
agree.
To your bench and go.
I agree.
You know how cool
like
that would be?
Yep.
That would be really cool.
I agree. I like it. It was nice to see LeBron and Kyrie, you know, friendly. It was nice to see, you know, the MVP and Kevin Durant, you know, him and Westbrook, a little love there. You know, it was a good thing, and I think that obviously they played for charity. That was the most important thing. But I agree with you. I thought the best thing that baseball had going for them was, you know, World Series home field advantage for, you know, the winner of that All-Star game, and then they did away with that. I think this is the next best direction they could go, and it was fun to
watch. Play for a charity in the city where the All-Star game is, which would be really cool, because that'd give a lot of money. I thought the donation to the charity was a little soft. I think it could have been more, like,
what was
the
$30,000? Yeah.
It was like $300,000 and $100,000 for the losers.
Well, I thought it was 30 and 10.
No, I think it was $300,000.
Okay, maybe it was.
I think. I might be wrong.
That's
on
still
that.
A lot.
It is, but
they're cheating the charity for $300,000.
But look how much they made.
Well, I know.
Look how much the NBA made on that. Why can't you do, here's $1 million for the winners, here's $500 for the losers?
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah,
I mean,
I'm
make
with
it
you.
Make it
I'm
substantial. I mean, the NBA doesn't need all that money. I mean, really? They're going to make money hand over fist. Same way with the NFL and same way with baseball. But baseball, that would be really cool to see, you know, Mike Trout in the American League be a captain and Frankie Lindor, and I guess you couldn't do that, but and pick a National League guy and you know, be a captain. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
So
the leading vote getters.
Sure.
That
absolutely.
Would be the best way to do it.
In each league. So, I was happy with the All-Star game. They kind of spruced it up a little bit, and I'm excited for the season to get back going on Thursday night.
Absolutely. And then, of course, the Buckeyes, they lost their second in a row, a 74-62 loss at that team up north. The Buckeyes dropped down.
You mean they finally beat us in something?
Yeah.
Oh.
They dropped down all the way down to number 16. They play Rutgers. You say tomorrow night.
It's tonight.
It's tonight. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
The Buckeyes are tonight. The Cavs are Thursday.
Rutgers is tonight. Indiana on Friday. They finish up the regular season as they now trail Michigan State by a game in the Big Ten and are 22-7 and 13-3
but
in conference.
They might trail them by a game, but they own the tiebreaker.
Right. But they've got to
get
up there
and,
now.
And Michigan State needs to
right,
lose.
Exactly.
But Buckeyes, you know what? I think the Buckeyes came back to earth a little bit. I think they were playing above where they probably should have been. I don't think they were the number 8 team in the country. Losing to Michigan, tough place to play. It really is. And John Beilein has a going good up there for him. He has been for the last couple
the
of
Chrysler
years.
Chrysler Center.
Yeah. And middle of Ford country, which is kind of weird. But, you know, you go to Michigan and win. It's a tough thing to do. I mean, not in football, but in basketball, it's a tough thing to do. But, you know, it's I think the Buckeyes are right where they need to be.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I mean, sitting at 16th in the country, I think that's about fair.
Nobody would have thought that at the beginning of the year.
And, you know, I think they're coming back to earth a little bit, but I did notice one thing about the Buckeyes over the weekend. They're kind of a, you know, they have a bunch of role players, but they have Kata Bates Diop and Jayshon Tate. That's kind of like their main scoring guys. Mm-hmm. Like, if they need a big shot, that's who they go to. That's not going to get you very far in the tournament. But you know what? They have some big presence underneath, and Caleb Wesson and Andre Wesson, and Tate does a great job on the boards. But their guard play is a little shaky. CJ Jackson's pretty good. Dokic is pretty good.
Yeah, but they're not scorers.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, CJ can be, but Dokic definitely not.
Yeah, and then Cam Williams, I think, has totally just screwed up the mojo of this team. And, you know, he's come back, and they haven't played the same.
And Kyle Young hasn't been getting a lot of time.
He played a little
either.
Bit on Saturday, and Potter's been playing pretty good. But if they can stay out of
their kid too.
They can stay out of foul trouble. Musa Jallo.
Yeah, Musa Jallo.
Yeah, they're not doing bad. They're a fun team to watch, man, and they really are. I think they're finally playing kind of where they should have been, you know. And the two games left, very winnable games. Senior night tonight in Columbus. Kata Bates Diop taking part in senior night, even though he's a junior, taking paid. That's kind of writing on the wall for Kata Bates Diop. And you know what? And then he got Indiana, which is a tough place to play. They wrap up the season. You know what's really cool about the Big Ten this year? Remember in all past years, if you can remember, the Big Ten tournament ran up to right up to the selection show. They finish a week early this year.
Yeah.
So they don't even, you know, they get that break a little bit. And some of these teams are going to need that. Ohio State, I think after that big long stretch there we talked about in the middle of the season, they played like five or six games in like 12 days.
Yep.
That kind of wore them down a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I think they got tired. I think they got, you know, they need to get their legs back under them. I think with this, you know, a little bit of a break here, they get finished up by the end of the weekend, and then they go into the tournament. But then they're going to have a little bit of time to chill for a minute and get their legs back under it, which could be a good thing.
Hey, do you think, why didn't they name Chrysler Arena? Why didn't they name it the Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Arena?
That's pretty good. I don't know. That's good.
That's what I was laughing at earlier when you said that. And I'm like,
Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Yep.
Yeah. This is the welcome to the Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Arena.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the Lady Bucks, they bounce back. They're 14th in the country. They beat Purdue 73-60 on Sunday, coupled with Maryland losing two in a row now, and they are tied for first in the Big Ten at 11-3. Of course, they're 22-6 overall. They finish up at home against Northwestern Wednesday and at Penn State on Sunday. So Lady Bucks, they're right there at the top of the board as well.
Yeah, Lady Bucks have been good for a while, and they're doing good things. Kelsey Mitchell, of course, from Cincinnati area, Princeton High School, which is kind of cool being able to watch her. I actually remember her in high school when she was down there. But she's doing good things for the Buckeyes, and both programs are playing well and playing good basketball. It's fun to have the Buckeyes, even in basketball on the boys' side, back, because it kind of piques your interest a little bit more. And, you know, it's neat to finally be able to follow college basketball, and because you got a team that from this area that's playing well.
Right.
You know?
I think I'm getting a hot flash in here.
Oh, my gosh. It's 81 degrees in here now.
Speaking of hot flashes, we got to send our boss a happy birthday.
Yes, we do. Joanne, our owner, she has a birthday today, and we wish Joanne the happiest of birthdays. And enjoy your trip next week. And hopefully
I don't get fired for saying that.
No, you won't. It's well known throughout the building. So
yes.
And then Shauna said something this morning on as she was filling in for Eric.
Right.
So, happy birthday to Joanne. Thanks for letting us do what we do.
Absolutely. And then NASCAR news and notes, of course. It took Dale Earnhardt 20 years to put Richard Childress in the number 3 in victory lane back in 1998. 20 years later, Austin Dillon, driving for his grandpa in the number 3, goes back to victory lane. He leads one lap, the final one, at the 60th Daytona 500. Of course, he had to move Eric Amarola to get there, but...
Now, let me ask you this. You know, I don't know racing that much, and you know that. You got to be proud of me, though, my Big Z Sportsman.
Yes.
I did a great job with, in my personal opinion, I did a great job with the NASCAR stuff yesterday. I had to call you for some pronunciations, but I got it right. But in your opinion, your professional race expertise, was it dirty?
No.
What happened? Why did they collide like
that? Here's the deal. Okay, in this plate racing, if you get a good distance out in front of the guy behind you.
Sure.
When they link up with a couple cars, they're coming at 5-10 mile an hour faster than what that lead car is out there by himself. So they had a big run coming up into turn three. Amarola knew he was going to have to block, and he did. And Austin Dillon, instead of just bump drafting him and pushing him forward, he didn't let off the throttle and just and hit him hard enough to where it ended up hooking him. But, you know, I mean, you're coming down to win the Daytona 500. Yeah, you can say what you want. Some guys are going to call it dirty. I think the last time I looked, there was a Twitter poll out there that ESPN and NASCAR had out, and it was like 65% said it was just a racing deal. And, you know, I mean, of course, the Amarola people and the Ford people, they're going to say that it was dirty. And Austin Dillon and everybody who likes, you know, Dale Earnhardt's going to say it wasn't. You could see Amarola made two moves. He made a move up to block. He was hit. He kind of moved down a little bit and then went to move back up, and that's when the second part of the contact was made. It stinks. I would have liked to have seen, you know, him win it, but it was good to see Austin Dillon win it too. That kid's got a lot of pressure on him, filling that car and driving for Grandpa. I mean, Kevin Harvick a couple years ago said him and his brother have been given everything in life. They're spoon-fed everything, you know, and you wonder why they're not doing as well as they are. Well, Austin Dillon got his first win last year at Charlotte in the 600, and, you know, he got another win at the Daytona 500 on Sunday. It was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I didn't see the ending of it. The only part that I saw was the beginning, and I kind of went through the day, kind of forgot that it was on. I was watching the Buckeyes and stuff, and you know, then my phone went off crazy about who won. And I'm like, oh, miraculous, you know. And then the video see, and so I went and watched the highlights, and I'm like, wow, it looked like a pretty good race. And your girl Danica got
taken out, and some it wasn't her deal again. You know, there was a big Chase Elliott got dumped by Horseface Keselowski, and
are you calling people, you know, names now?
Yeah, maybe. Not a Brad Keselowski fan, am I? But yeah, he kind of dumped Chase Elliott and took out, well, I think like 12 cars. Danica was one of them. She was having a good run. Her last NASCAR race, she rides off into the sunset. She'll head over to Indianapolis in May and finish up her career. And then the haters that don't like her can be happy that she's gone. But people can say what they want about Danica Patrick, but she's the best oval track female in history.
Did she ever win a race?
Yes, in IndyCar she did. And, you know, she won a pole for the Daytona 500. She's won poles in IndyCar. She's 10 finishes and 7 starts, 2 top fives and a podium finish at Indianapolis. That's pretty good numbers.
Sure.
You know, you finish 6 times in the top 10 in the biggest race in the world, and you've only had 7 starts. That's numbers that a lot of drivers would probably kill to have, and she has those. And we'll see what she does in her 8th and final start coming up in May. Of course, Bubba Wallace, great feel-good story, driving for the King, Richard Petty, who hasn't done the King hasn't done a whole lot. Eric Amarola was in that 43 car the last few years. He won a race, I believe it was last year or 2 years ago, on a rain delay. He was leading. It rained. So the King got his first win in a number of years. Bubba Wallace, a good kid. He just, you know, he was sobbing in a mess in the press conference afterwards after he seen his mom. And I think he's going to do good things for Richard Petty in that 43. But Bubba Wallace finished a second. Denny Hamlin third. Joey Logano fourth. And Chris Buescher rounded out the top 5. Ohio's Ryan Blaney led a race high 118 laps, but got caught up in a 12-car wreck with 2 to go. And, you know, he battled back and finished 7th. But I felt terrible for Blaney. I really wanted to see him win, too, driving for Penske. You know, that Dayglow green car. It was pretty cool.
Now, was there a big wreck in this one?
That one and the one that Danica was involved in. The bad thing was the one that Chase Elliott got taken out in, it was right around the end of the second stage, and everybody kind of settled down after that. And then it was a lot of single file racing until they got down to about, you know, 8-10 laps to go, and then it got crazy again. But, you know, it's a shame that it took them all the blocking and everything else that happened to take out a bunch of cars before they settled down. But, you know, it is what it is. But, of course, Dale Earnhardt, he was killed in a last lap crash in February 18th of 2001. So here's some crazy numbers for you real quick, Joe. The car that he owned won the Daytona 500 in 2001 that he was killed in. Michael Waltrip was driving. The race has only been held twice on February 18th since Dale Earnhardt was killed on February 18th. Kevin Harvick won
was in the
in a Richard Childress car that was the old Dale Earnhardt car.
Yeah.
Right? And now Austin Dillon won in the three.
That's kind of crazy. That is weird. You know, I actually remember to that day, you know, February 18th in 2001. Yeah. I actually was at a radio station in Cincinnati working. And that's back in the day when we had NASCAR on that station. And I had to, that Sunday I worked and I actually ran the Daytona 500, you know, from the local side of it. And as naive as I was about racing, I was there because it needed to be filled, you know, whatever. And, you know, I saw the wreck at the end of the game. And after it was over, I closed up shop and I left and went home. And I didn't know till I got home that night and was watching it that Earnhardt had died. Mm-hmm. And I did the race. And I had it on TV just so I know what's going on with it and stuff. Never knew the guy died until I got home that night and watching SportsCenter. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, yeah. I did that race and I was like, that is kind of crazy. They didn't announce he died till later, but the wreck didn't look anything major. And I'm like, oh wow, you know, what a win for that dude. And you know, then, and the big story was Earnhardt had to wreck, and I'm like, oh wow. And then I heard that he had died, and I'm like, that is just some crazy stuff.
Yeah, it was I was in the military watching it, and I was stunned. You know, I was never a Dale Earnhardt fan, but I appreciated he was one of the best of all time, and it was one of those things where it was just a very sombering day. I remember seeing a picture a guy took. He got off the interstate somewhere between Daytona and Charlotte and took a picture of Dale Earnhardt's hauler going back to Charlotte with, you know, just nothing in it, really.
Yeah.
And it was Dale Earnhardt's last ride. And it was just, you know, one of them sombering things. I remember Dale Earnhardt Jr., how he reacted after that. And I think that affected a lot of his career, especially, you know, in that heyday when he was driving for DEI.
Who
in
won
the
that
Budweiser
race?
Car, Michael Waltrip.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, Michael always said, you know, I was standing in victory lane waiting on that big bear hug, you know, the big shoulder grab that, you know, he was waiting on it. And it never came. And a good friend of Dale Earnhardt's, you know, Kenny Schrader, who still races today, different dirt stuff, he came up and, you know, kind of whispered in Michael's ear that, hey, it was really bad. And, you know, it was, you could see Michael's face in victory lane just almost go pale white. And, yeah, it was just a bad day for racing, a bad day for sports. But, you know, it kind of reminds me of when Dan Weldon got killed out in Vegas. The reigning Indy 500 champion signed a deal with GoDaddy to drive and take over Danica Patrick's ride for Michael Andretti. And he was in a one-off deal and won his second Indy 500 and last lap crash. And then he ends up getting killed at Vegas. And that was another one that just, you know, bad day. But they know the risk, and that's the bad thing about racing.
And if I remember correctly, you might be able to correct me on this, but if I remember right, watching the race, I can still picture it because it was actually exciting, you know, coming down that last lap and when Earnhardt died. Mm-hmm. Was it Sterling Marlin that blocked? Okay, in the Coors Light car.
Yeah, in the Coors Light car. Yeah. Yep. And then 40? Kenny Schrader was involved in that in the M&M's car. But Dale Earnhardt was running third
and
was pushing his son
and
Waltrip. Michael Waltrip.
Yeah, and then and Marlin came down and blocked him, which then pushed him into the wall. Yeah. And he hit it, head on, kind of?
Yeah,
right?
It was. What actually happened was he had his seat belts actually reversed. They were upside down. And when he hit, that buckle turned, and it ripped, and he hit the steering wheel. So that's what ended up happening.
They didn't have the Hans device then, right?
No, and he still had open face helmet and everything else. And, you know, it was just a combination of things. It was just, you know, that there again, you can see spectacular crashes, cars flipping over and disintegrated and guys walking away. And then you see an accident like that and, you know, and a guy dies. And
hit the wall straight on 190 mile an hour. Yeah. I mean, that's going to happen.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, it was crazy. But NASCAR moves on to Atlanta this weekend and the season presses on, so we'll see what happens.
And don't forget, each and every day around 3:40, 4:40, and 5:40, you can check out our Big Z Sports Minutes. Myself and Chris will do those. Depends on when Chris is working, you'll hear me, and when Chris is not working, you'll hear him, like the next couple of days. So again, our Big Z Sports Minutes on 99.9 WTUZ in the afternoons for some updated information. Make sure you check them out again, 3:40, 4:40, and 5:40. Chris, good seeing you, man. Hope the car troubles work out. We'll talk later on. I know you won't be here Friday, but we'll catch up.
Absolutely. I'll be a part-timer the next few weeks because I won't be here this weekend, then I'll be here for two Friday nights, then I'll be gone for one, then back for one, then gone for one. So I'm a part-timer, but it is what it is. Not much you can do when you have to work and your kid plays in Florida being a collegiate athlete, the first
tough.
Time she plays.
That's tough. Got to go to Florida and watch softball.
Yeah, we get one day. She's off on Wednesday, I was told, and if they're off on Wednesday, you'll be able to see me on the beach.
Okay, well, I don't know if I want to see that.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, cool.
I've lost weight.
Remember? Oh, yeah, you have, actually. Anyway, thanks, and that's going to do it for this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast, presented by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Again, check them out. Give them a call, 330-365-9022. That's Action Extreme Sports, AESRacing.com. For Chris Kale, I'm Joe Geckler saying thanks for listening to this week's edition of the WTUZ Big Z Sports Podcast. We'll check you on Friday night beginning at 6 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to this week's Big Z Sports Internet broadcast. This special presentation is brought to you by Action Extreme Sports in New Philadelphia. Follow Big Z Sports on social media, on Facebook at WTUZ Big Z Sports, on Twitter at Big_Z Sports. This has been a presentation of Big Z Sports.